Sometimes you're just uncomfortable at a party, especially if you don't really know anybody. I know I was someone who's always just kind of sat in the corner, very much a wallflower. I know, and now I talk for a living. Anyway, what happens when you find that friendly person to talk to, you get in a great conversation, and then you find out, oh, there was no one sitting there next to you that you were talking to, according to all the other people at the party? That's a little awkward, wouldn't you say? Well, that happens in a recent episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear that story and more, sign up to be an EPP Extra Podcast Person on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Extra Podcast people help support our show, keep us on the air, and they get bonus content. More than 60 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, and more. Thanks in advance for being an EPP. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And that indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a child refuses to sleep with her door closed because the man is in there. An inexplicable noise outside a window leaves a listener puzzled after all these years. A mysterious woman appears and beckons to a child in the night. And peculiar pet behavior has a listener wondering what they know that she doesn't. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony Bruschi with you today. Jenny Bruschi, taking it easy with the scurvy, or whatever it is that's going around that I was dealing with the other week. She got hit with it hard, and it's going to kind of take the day to kind of recuperate. So we wish her well. She'll be back with us as soon as she's feeling up to it, hopefully tomorrow, but we'll see. One of those, you know, colds, to me, I don't know, did they get worse at some point in time? It seems like a cold is never quite a cold anymore. It's usually, you know, not like a 2 or 3 day deal of, okay, I got it, I'm over it. Now when I get it, and I know when she gets it too, it's like, oh, it lingers. And then slowly, oh, you have a cough for about 3-4 weeks after that. And hope to God you don't get sick again between that time, because then it's going to get 10 times worse after that as well. So I hope, hopefully this doesn't last all that long for her. Anyway, getting on with today's episode, of course, our phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Lots of ways to get us your experiences of the paranormal. Kick off today's show. I think we're going to start off with a caller. And we have letters and calls on today's show, just so you know. Get it started. Let's go out to Kyle in Colorado. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Kyle Thomas. I'm from Denver, Colorado, and I've always believed in the paranormal, had experiences my whole life, kind of mundane clairvoyance. Some of the most unimportant things I knew were going to happen have happened. Nothing ever, you know, vastly important that I've foreseen, but nonetheless, I've been, you know, empathic and pretty strongly intuitive my whole life. My mother passed away 2.5 years ago about now, and right when she died, we had a few things happen, like a dimmer switch went up right before our eyes at the dinner table, and a cabinet had opened once right after she died, too, and I completely understood all this. A baby monitor, our son was little less than 6 months old when she passed away, and the baby monitor would beep and click the whole night that she passed away. So, you know, those things were completely understandable again to me. I didn't need any explanation for it. I accepted it entirely. But I'm packing now to move my family into my father's house with him. He's 70 years old, and a couple of years of having an empty nest has kind of left him distraught and sad. He too has had many experiences. He's explained to me many times, and I've never thought of my father as a dishonest person. So I took them, you know, with a straight face, entirely believed him. But as I'm packing now, it's early in the morning. We've got this fresh blizzard here. It's kind of a beautiful day, you know, and my son is sitting on the couch with his mom, my wife, and they're, you know, he's on the tablet. She's speaking to her mother on the phone. She's always on the phone with her. Anyways, and I see, as I'm packing, my son, I think, walk into the apartment hallway towards his bedroom. And I just think to myself, you know, it's early. The shade is still drawn in his room. He likes to have the light on and the shades open. So I'm going to go in there and open the shades for him. I go in there and I turn on the light. And where are you, buddy? And he's not there. And I go to the bathroom, turn that on. And where are you, buddy? He's not there. And I'm like, yeah, of course, he's going to be sitting right there with my wife on the couch. So I go peek back into the living room. And of course, there he is. And I'm just like, no, of course, I see this. You know, and I've been wanting to see, like, you know, a pretty solid apparition. And my whole life I've wanted to. I feel like it would affirm my belief in afterlife, consciousness, living outside of the mind. And just the possibility of there being a true, you know, maybe higher source. Or, you know, just the fact that I know we can't see everything with our plain vision, you know. So, you know, here I am, floored that my son is there. And I know I watched a boy walk into the hallway of the apartment, and my wife doesn't even get off the phone. I'm like, hello, I just seen this, does anyone care? Well, I know you guys will at least appreciate it. So I walked instantly into the garage, sat down in the car, and have now called you and left this message. I hope you enjoy the story. I hope to hear from it. Take care and keep up the great show.
Thank you for sharing your experience and your story with us. That's amusing. Hey, I just saw a dead person in our house, honey. Yeah, no, really. Seriously. Let's stop talking about Pinterest for 2 seconds and let's talk about the ghosts. I just, you know. Wow. Thank you for making us your first call. We really, really do appreciate that. Does it affirm anything to you then? Does it make it feel more real, more substantiated than how you felt about the paranormal before? Did you really need it? That's what I wonder. Because a lot of times, folks who haven't experienced anything feel that they need something. They need that firsthand experience to believe it. And they think that by having that, it's going to change how they felt. And more times than not, someone who believes in this stuff before having it, after seeing it, in my experience, doesn't always necessarily feel so much comforted or reaffirmed by it. It just leads to more questions. And in the same aspect as well, someone who doesn't believe in this stuff, let's see something, further questions what they were seeing and continues to dismiss what actually happened. Not in all cases. There's plenty of folks who've had an experience that have called the show and said, I didn't believe in any of this, and now I believe because I had. We also have had plenty, too, that have an experience and then afterwards still don't have the belief of it. But, you know, that's fine. We always need skeptics out there. Always have to ask questions, and that's what we do here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a letter Shannon writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Shannon. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I've had a crazy few days inside my house, and I need to share. I have 3 cats who follow me into the bathroom every time I go in there. They love to drink water directly out of the faucet, even though we have a filtered water fountain that mimics a water faucet as their water source. They will still follow me into the bathroom each and every time and jump on the sink and wait for me to turn on the water. I also cannot ever take a shower alone. If I somehow manage to make it into the bathroom alone and shut the door, they'll sit and paw at the door and cry until I let them in. Because of this, I'll usually just leave the door wide open. Until the other day. They've always sat quietly inside the bathroom while I took my shower. One on a cat bed I've placed in there, and the other 2 either in the window sill or on my dirty clothes left on the floor. I've had them for 3 years, and the routine has always been the same. However, The other day, as I got into the shower, one of them became extremely upset and pushed her head inside the shower curtain and began yowling very loudly at me in a way I've never heard from her before. Of the three, I have one talker, one who occasionally will meow for attention, and her, my other one, does she even know how to meow, cat? She was screaming at me and trying to get me, and although she hates the water, she did everything but jump into the shower with me. Her paw was reaching towards me as she yowled loudly. She didn't calm down when I tried to pet her or talk to her. Shortly after, my other two began to cry out as well. And a second one jumped in between the shower curtains and sat on the edge of the tub. Never, ever have they done this. They avoid the tub if there is water going, but this day they were all freaking out. I was certain that I was about to die. Maybe a brain aneurysm or seizure. I was certain they were sensing some health issue with me. I was unaware of and was going to die in the shower. What a way to go. I think that was the fastest shower I'd ever taken in my life. Throughout the entire quickest shower ever, my cats had continued to cry insanely at me. As I turned off the water, the cat that had started crying first, she took off and went and hid under my bed. I dried off, got dressed, and tried to coax her out from under the bed, and she was having none of it. This, too, was unlike her. 20 minutes later, she finally came out. She was back to her normal, loving self, perching herself right in my lap, claiming her usual spot. The following morning, I caught her playing with a blanket by my couch. She was pouncing on it the way she does when I'm trying to sleep, but move my feet. If she sees that, she'll try and kill the evil that lay beneath. She's overweight, so she doesn't play often, but she will attack something moving under a blanket. But this time I was watching the blanket as she played, and it wasn't moving. She then proceeded to follow down the side of the blanket across the room as if she were following something, and then dove headfirst into a pile of laundry that was next in line to be washed. It was weird, unlike her, but it was humorous, so I didn't think too much of it. Again, nothing I've ever, in the 3 years of having her, have ever seen her do. I'll add, I have seen my other cats play with something that isn't there many times, but they're more playful, so I usually chalk it up to them chasing a small bug or dust. This morning, I was working on my laptop in my living room, and I usually work from home. I had one cat in my lap under my laptop and one asleep on the chair next to me. Suddenly heard something moving in my kitchen. The cat in my lap sat up, and a split second later leapt from my lap and went running to the kitchen. I then heard a gagging sound. I knew my third cat was in trouble. Jumped up in a panic and rushed to the kitchen, prepared for the worst. Only I found myself staring at a completely empty kitchen, minus the one cat that had beat me in there. He too was staring at an empty room. A little confused, I yelled out for the third cat, thinking she would pop up and show me where the noise had come from. And she did pop up, but not from the kitchen. She popped up from a large box that had been on the other side of my living room, which had been on the other side of me, where the noise in the kitchen had come from. I would have thought I had been hearing things had my other cat not reacted to the same noise in the same time I had. My friends already call me the crazy cat lady. I'm just unsure if I'm ready to be called the crazy lady who also has cats. Love the podcast, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. I encourage all the listeners to submit their stories and keep this podcast thriving. Thank you guys for what you do. And keep up the great work. Well, thank you for sharing that story with us, my dear cat lady friend. They are certainly interesting animals. What do you have going on in your house? I don't know. I wouldn't be normally all that concerned about chasing something that you don't see. Cats, you know, they obviously do that, and you're aware of that. It is rather odd where they get very, very affected by something, though, when you have all three of them affected by something, and they're trying to get into an area that they normally would not get into, like a shower. And it's becoming a trend of some sort. Paranormal? Possibly? Is there something else triggering this within where you live? I don't know. Very difficult to tell. I wonder if you'll end up seeing anything yourself. Or if you'll end up chasing things you don't see. Like the cats. Suddenly, instinctually, I just felt the need to run into the hamper. That'll be the next letter. Thank you for sharing that with us. We really do appreciate it. Jeanette writes in, my parents purchased a two-story house in the Silver Lake area of Los Angeles in 1999. I wasn't too excited about moving into the house, but I was finally going to have my own bedroom, which made me rather happy about the whole move. The first night that we slept in the house, I slept in my parents' bedroom with my mattress on the floor. From my parents' room floor, I could see into my new room because I had left the door open throughout the night. I could hear footsteps and dragging sounds coming from my room. When I'd sit up to look towards my room, I saw a tall, dark figure standing in the middle of my room. First, I thought it was my eyes playing tricks on me, but after spending a good 2 minutes looking at this shadow, I saw it walk out of my room and begin to walk towards my parents' room. I closed my eyes, but I could hear the footsteps, which woke up my parents. When I finally opened my eyes, nothing was there, but that was one of the many haunting experiences I've had in this house. The scariest incident I've had in this house was back in 2001. I woke up sick to my parents. Six of my parents decided not to send me to school that day. Spent all morning in my room. While my mother was downstairs taking care of my younger sister, who was 5 years old and also sick. Her room was located right underneath mine. I remember I was trying to sleep, but from the other side of my room, near the window, I heard a woman's voice call out my name. The room immediately went cold. When I turned to look at the window, I saw a tall woman wearing a red dress, but I couldn't see her face standing in front of the window, and her hand stretched out and kept repeating, "Come with me." I panicked and began to scream out to my mom and began to even bang on the wall. None of my siblings heard my screams or the bangs I was doing on the wall. I remember closing my eyes and telling the entity to leave me alone. When I felt the room go to a normal temperature, I opened my eyes and ran out of my room and flew down the stairs. When I approached my mother, I told her what had happened and why she hadn't gone upstairs, and she explained to me that she didn't hear anything. The weird part is, later on that day, one of our neighbors asked my mother why I was screaming earlier on in the day and if I was okay, because they could hear the fear in my screams. That's the scariest incident I've ever had in this house until this day. There's a lot of ghostly encounters happening inside and outside of the house. Things I can't even explain up into this day. It's one of those odd incidents there where we've talked about this on the show before. Where does the sound go? It seems sometimes when there's a haunting situation underway, it has control over the sounds we are making, and whether we are audibly getting it out there, it seems to be sucking it right in. Of course, you have the stories of, I tried to scream and I couldn't, but a lot of times we have stories of, I screamed. I heard myself scream. I know I was screaming. I was banging on the wall. You know, that does make noise. Where are those sounds going, and how is it able to absorb those sounds? Is it intentionally absorbing those sounds, you have to wonder? Or is it just a byproduct of it being there and trying to manifest that that energy is just somehow sucked into it, whatever it is? Thank you for that story. Phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. As you're probably well aware, we fund the show by you guys being EPPs. I know a lot of you are sick of hearing about it, but I do have to talk about it because that's the only thing that gets folks to become an EPP. So bear with me. Asking folks to become EPPs is what helps keep this thing on the air. Okay? So if you already are one, thank you. We love your support. You get it. Greatly appreciate it. If you're not one yet, if you're a new listener to the show, it's only $5 a month to get a bonus episode of the show every single week sent directly to you. And then you can enjoy all of our past episodes, a new bonus episode every week, and you're keeping this thing on the air. And those EPP episodes, some of the best shows that we do. We put a lot of time and effort into those to make sure that our EPPs are really getting well taken care of and getting value for their $5 a month. And I've heard really nothing but good things from all the folks who are EPPs. So thank you if you are one. If you're not one yet, please become one. That's what's going to continue to allow us to do the show well into the future. Just sign up on the website, click Become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com. Carissa writes in, hi there, my name is Carissa. Pronounced Caressa. Sorry, Caressa. I should have read that before I said it. I currently live in the greater Memphis, Tennessee area and wanted to tell you about one of the scariest and weirdest things that have ever happened to me. I honestly don't know if this is paranormal or simply an unexplained mystery, but either way, it was a frightening experience and one that I will never forget. When I was just a kid, my family and I lived in northern Illinois in a small town along the Mississippi River. Our home was a three-story house that had a deep ravine surrounding it on all three sides. The house was built off of a slope that ran straight into the ravine. So instead of a traditional backyard, we had a large wooden deck that went out over the ravine. We were the last house on the dead-end gravel road in a very quiet, very small neighborhood. My favorite time of year was at the end of summer when the weather would start to cool as autumn approached. We'd leave the windows open at night and a swift and chilly breeze would roll through the house. I still remember the distinct sound the trees would make as they moved against each other in the dense woods outside. One night, when I was about 10 years old, I was brushing my teeth in the upstairs bathroom. It's one of those gorgeous end-of-summer nights, and all the windows were open. My mom and dad were downstairs watching TV in the living room, which was on the first floor. I could faintly hear the TV noise and my parents laughing from time to time as they watched their show. I was standing in the doorway of the bathroom that overlooked the hallway and bedroom doors when I very clearly heard a horrible sound come from outside. I'll do my best to spell the sound out phonetically so you can get an idea of what it was. Okay, this is going to be me now trying to communicate what the sound was based on their phonetical spelling. I-E-I-E-I-E and so forth. It was high-pitched, crystal clear, and sounded neither human nor animal. And worse yet, it sounded like it came from directly outside the window in the bathroom. Almost instantly, an eerie feeling washing over me, like I was being watched by someone. I stood there frozen with fear. My knees started shaking as my mind raced, looking for a logical explanation, and I couldn't find one. I was three stories up with nothing outside my window. The tree line didn't start for another 25 feet or so. The only people in the house were me and my parents. For a split second, I thought it might have been my dad, who was a notorious prankster. As if on cue, I heard him, and my mom laughed downstairs in the living room. I was still watching TV with my mom and was very obviously not outside. I finally convinced my body to move, so I dropped my toothbrush and raced downstairs. I told my mom what had happened, who listened intently, as it was pretty apparent that I was terrified. She brushed it off, saying it was probably an owl or raccoon. I lived in that house my entire life, and not once did I hear an owl or raccoon take on that kind of a sound. Not to mention the fact that this sound was different somehow. I don't know how to explain it, but it just didn't sound like it came from an animal or person, yet it wasn't anything mechanical or electrical either. I simply don't have an explanation for it. My mom and dad went outside and checked around the house, but they didn't see anything out of the ordinary. I never heard the sound again. To this day, I can still remember the sound, and I can still remember how scared I was. A feeling of dread and complete and utter fear. I've looked online searching for animal sounds in hopes of finding an explanation, but I've yet to find one. If you or your listeners have any idea as to what it was, I'd love to hear them. Thank you for your shows. I enjoy listening to them at work as they make time fly by. Best wishes, Carissa. Carissa, thank you for sharing that experience with us. Some of the most eerie situations that you can have in your life, or when you can't explain what that was. This is one of those stories, because you don't know if it's something paranormal. You don't know if it's something natural. You just don't know what on earth that situation was. Was it threatening? Was it fairly mundane and just situational and you're just there for it? Was there a reason for it? So many questions. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I saw something really, really cool the other day, and maybe I'm just a little bit behind, but some of the folks may already know about this, but this was the first time I ever tried it out on a phone, and it's the 3D video stuff and the VR stuff where if you, and you can do it on a desktop computer, and I've seen and done that before, where it, you know, you can almost have like a 3D experience, but you don't really quite get that full effect until you're actually, using it on a device that is mobile and can move with you, and you can watch a 3D movie, and you can, of course, put it into like the Google Cardboard or whatever you want to call it, many devices that essentially put your cell phone in front of your face and give you a 3D experience, but it's really quite amazing. And I'm really excited about all the new virtual reality things that are coming out in the next year. I think that's really going to be a big thing in the next, I think that's the next big thing. I really do, as far as what it can be used for. I mean, can you imagine, like, for example, all the ghost shows on TV where you're watching them when they're going on the ghost hunts. Can you imagine being able to watch a show like that in 3D wearing the headset where then you essentially are on the ghost hunt as well? Everyone is there and you're looking in full 360. You are not just looking at the screen wherever that camera points you. You are going through that situation on your couch. Just the possibilities for this are really amazing, and I'm very excited about seeing what's going to come about of that in the coming years. Just I know it's been around for a little while, but I finally got around to kind of playing with it the other day and was just like, oh my god, this is amazing. So anyhow, my mind immediately went to our show, what we do, and just thinking, we could really, on some of the excursions that we go upon and tours and whatever, we could actually take you guys with us by getting one of those cameras and then posting it, essentially. Not super mainstream yet, but as this becomes more of an adopted technology that more and more people are using, or maybe something a couple years down the road that becomes something that we do. I'm excited. It just looks really amazing. Phone number, of course, like I said, 855-853-4802. To share your real ghost story with us at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jason writes in, hi, my name's Jason, love the show. I have two short things to share. Both happened at a small old cemetery right outside of Pittsburgh, Florida. First, I'll include a picture. It's a funny picture of me holding our small bunny I found. If you look at the bottom of the picture, there's a white blob. Now, I worked at this landscaping company with my sister-in-law. She was the one taking the picture. As she was holding her iPhone at the bottom, we noticed this blob right after we looked at the picture, so we remember how she was holding the phone. So it was not her finger, or it kind of looked like my left leg, but my left leg was straight on the ground, so not my leg either. Now, if you look closely at my arm, you can see through the blob and see my arm. And also, was no more than 5 feet from me. Not sure if it was, but it was a little creepy. The second thing was a little different. I was the only one at the same cemetery cutting. Several weeks later, I was using a zero-turn tractor. This is important later. So I was cutting about 10 yards away from where the picture was taken, and I saw a branch about 1 foot long pick up and toss towards me. It went about 3 feet into the air, about 5 feet in distance. Now, thinking this may just have been the tractor blowing air, I went in circles around this branch to the point where the air was directly blowing on the branch, and it did not move at all. It was not stuck in the ground or stuck on anything else. It was free to move, but the forceful air just rocked it slightly. One more foot note on this story. My aforementioned sister-in-law mentioned to me, after telling me the story, that at one point she said an old man or saw an old man standing at the bottom of the hill near them just disappear. It's a very old cemetery dating back to the early 1800s, probably 1,000 headstones. An interesting fact about this cemetery is that at the bottom of it is a huge open area. After talking to the church that owns the grounds, I was told that was the area where all the poor people were buried. They could not afford stone markers, so instead used wood. Wood that has long decayed away. Thanks to the show and keep up the good work. Nothing creepier than the knowledge that, oh, this was a cemetery once. I mean, this is a plot of land that I'm standing on right now. There's no gravestones. Oh, yeah, well, they can afford the, you know, granite or anything like that, so they used wood. It's gone now. But where are the bodies? Around here somewhere. I think there's much more of that probably at least one of us right now listening to this program is sitting upon. Jesse from Pittsburgh writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Jesse from Pittsburgh again. My first story I sent you was from about a year ago, talking about how something had followed me from my hometown to Seattle to where I am now in Pittsburgh. I feel it's important to say this due to there may have been a connection to the story that I last sent you about something kissing and luring me out of my body. This is the next part of the ongoing situation. This starts a few months after the last episode. Once again, I found myself in sleep paralysis. Going to find out that when suffering from this condition, an out-of-body experience is very possible. At least that's what happens with me. I'm sure it's different for everyone. So I leave my body, walk about, and get more comfortable with this dark place, as I mentioned before, I called the gloom. Nothing happened out of the ordinary, considering. So I went back to my body, found myself once again going through all the same physical side effects mentioned before. Rapid heart rate, erratic breathing, very cold, increase of ambient light. But instead of being scared like before, I'm more comfortable. The reason to mention this is important to what happened after. A couple weeks later, I'm woken up once again, unable to move. This time I'm lying on my side and I feel the bed depressed next in the direction I'm not looking, but I knew whatever had pulled me out came back. Me being curious, stubborn, and no longer afraid, decide it's time to confront this unknown and unwanted visitor. So I do the one thing I can think of. I roll over, grab whatever is lying next to me. There, we both struggle against each other. I could see the shadow in the dark. It was dark, slender, and humanoid with no actual features. One point, we're both in a standing position, our hands around each other's throats, quote-unquote. It was strong, and I mean really strong. It started forcing me down to my knees. At one point, I realized that this isn't a matter of physical strength due to my body being still on the bed and lying on my side facing away. So once again, I muster up my will and tell myself to get up, and I'm stronger. Eventually, I'm able to gain the upper hand. It was at this point I began to yell at it, "Who are you? What are you? I command that you tell me what you are." It was then its demeanor changed. It took its hand off me, began to thrash at me, but not in the way of assault, but more as if to get away. It flailed, pushed, and struck, trying to get away. It was afraid, and I gained the upper hand. I held tight and yelled that this is my home and nothing shall enter without my permission, and pushed it into the corner, into a shadow, where it then disappeared. Now, many will say that this was a very vivid dream, and I'll have agreed with them, until I noticed my cat. My cat would be sitting in the same spot on the edge of my bed, just staring at a single spot on my wall. She did this for months. I thought nothing of it at first. I figured there was something on the wall or the floor. One day I looked and saw nothing was there, and then realized that was the spot of not only the confrontation of the shadow person, for lack of a better word, but also the corner where I threw him into the shadow. It's at this point where I would say that this is either the end of it, but it's not. And that other folks say the rest is a story for another time, but I won't. There's much more to tell. Over the mentioned time, there were more OBEs and visitations, including once where I felt something tried to deceive me by looking like one of my brothers. but always ended the same way. Me standing up to whatever was there and not being afraid as well as casting it out. But then something happened that even I wouldn't have expected. It was a Friday night, no different than many others, sitting around at home playing computer games because I didn't feel like going out. The lights are off in my apartment. It was around 11 p.m. I'm also texting with one of my brothers when I notice something run from my bedroom to my hall in the dark. First, I think it's one of my cats, so I get up to get something to drink and see what kind of mischief my cats were up to. I stepped out of my room, I find myself standing in my fully lit kitchen hallway. Looked around and realized that not only were all the lights out, but I remembered I never turned them off to begin with. Something came into my apartment while I was still awake. I then called one of my brothers because for the first time in all these experiences, I was kind of freaking out. He calmed me down, went over a plan, salt on all the windows and doors for the night. A temporary fix, to be sure, but then to contact all my friends who were also as open to these things as I am, and went to bed more in depth. A house cleansing and a blessing protection on the doors and a window, the works. It's been 2 weeks now since everything was put into action. The air and atmosphere of my apartment seem lighter and clear. I feel like for the time I'll be okay, but I doubt if it will last time. Now, I understand that a lot of people will not believe any of this, but I don't care. They have the right to believe whatever they want, but this happened, and I believe what I saw and experienced. And as for my cat, well, she hasn't stared at that part of the wall since the cleansing and blessing. Thanks for reading. I hope to hear your take on all this. Hope to make a yearly EPP membership possible for an early Christmas gift for myself and keep on putting out the great content. Thanks again, Jesse. Jesse, thanks for writing in and thanks for becoming an EPP there. Look forward to having you as one. Interesting story. And he said it pretty much exactly how I was thinking, too. You could argue it was a vivid dream, but then all the other things that came up after that that point to it being something more physical and something actually going on. I'd certainly venture to believe there's something paranormal going on in your life and something not all that bright either. Something oppressive. As far as its strength and its power, you have to wonder if it's a weaker, darker spirit based on what went on and your ability to drive it out that easily. But I'd guess you're probably a target of some sort for these things. Thank you for sharing. Terry writes into us, I grew up in a large, very old colonial house on the East Coast. The house was definitely odd, and many unexplainable occurrences happened during my time there. This was one of the more frightening ones. I was the youngest of six children, and my maternal grandmother also lived with us. I shared a bedroom with my youngest brother until I was seven, and I believe this particular story happened when I was about six. We were a religious family attending Catholic school. We're often given small religious figurines, Mary, saints, angels, crucifixes, and that kind of thing. They tended to accumulate on a dresser. There may be 30 or 40 of them at any given time. At this time in my life, the nighttime ritual was that I would get into bed at 8, long before my brother. After a few minutes, my grandmother would come in, tuck me in, say goodnight, and turn off the light. As I got into bed one night, I saw a shadow on the wall, the same wall that the door to the room was on. The shadow took up the entire wall and was extremely dark, detailed, and defined. There was only one light on in the room, and it was an overhead light. Even at 6, I understood that the shadow on the wall was not possibly cast by that light. The shadow was of my brother's dresser and all the figurines on top. Besides, the dresser was a witch, and she was picking up and moving these figurines in a way that looked exactly as if she was playing chess with an invisible partner. The shadow was so detailed I could see her warts on her nose, even the hair growing from them, and tell exactly which figurine she was moving. She made no sound. I, of course, huddled under the covers, trembling, but took a chance to look at the dresser. Of course, there was no one there. None of the figurines were moving, only in the shadow. After what seemed like an eternity, my grandmother finally came in to say goodnight, and I asked her to turn around and look at the wall, and she refused. I begged her, and she simply said goodnight. and she did something unprecedented. She literally backed out of the room until she could reach the light switch and turn the light off, banishing the shadow. I know most people will think it was a dream, but the following morning I asked my grandmother why she wouldn't look at the wall the night before. And she didn't deny it. She simply said, "I didn't want to see her again." And that ended the conversation. I hadn't told my grandmother what I was seeing or why I wanted her to turn around, but I was too terrified. She knew. I never saw her again, but she is still as clear in my memory as if it had happened last night. There are many more stories from this house, which I hope to share with you someday. Thanks for the great show, guys. Terry. It's one of those things where you have to wonder if when you have something like that occurring and you have such a staple childhood scary figure, you know, of the witch with the warts and the hair and all that, you know, it's a very cartoonish, you know, childish thing that you know, we see and we pretend we're afraid of when we're kids or are afraid of as kids. But to have something like that manifest in a form of something paranormal, it makes you wonder if whatever it is just simply taking on that form because it knows that it will invoke fear into whoever is viewing it. If he was afraid of domesticated house cats, it would have taken on the form of a domesticated house cat. It's interesting that the grandmother saw it as well, and she didn't want to see it again either. Probably also didn't want to scare the kids. Thanks for sharing that. Felicia writes in, "Hi guys. I've been hesitant to send this story in because I don't know if it would count as paranormal, but if by chance it does make it on the show, maybe someone who has experienced anything somewhat similar will hear it and consider writing in themselves. I'm sorry if this is long and I'll try to keep it short, but I'm not going off memory, more so what I've been told. When I was 13, my grandma passed away, bringing family into California that I either hadn't seen in years or had yet to meet. Everyone was sitting around at my aunt's house the night before the funeral telling stories when the topic turned to ghosts and fun stuff like that. Almost everyone had at least one story of their own to tell, and I wanted in on the action. Half joking, I looked at my aunt and asked, "Didn't I have ghost or something like that named Jimmy, or a ghost like that named Jimmy?" My aunt, looking a little caught off guard, just said, "I didn't know you knew about Jimmy." I was a little thrown off because I didn't really actually know anything about him. However, I'd heard the name tossed around here and there, and at one point someone might have mentioned what a weird experience it was, but no one ever got into details with me. My aunt proceeded to tell me that when I was little, anywhere from 1 to 2 years of age, I randomly developed a fear of sleeping with my door shut. Apparently, this was weird for me because I was usually insistent on sleeping with my door shut. I started pointing at a specific corner in my room, telling my parents, "The man is in there. I don't like him. He hurts me here," while pointing at my belly button. I don't know when, how, or even if I am the one that named him, but he became Jimmy. My parents would ask me, "Is Jimmy here right now?" And I'd tell them no or yes while pointing to his corner. I had a cat named Tweety that was very protective of me. My parents called her the Watch Cat. And it got to the point that they had to start locking her out of my room because she would crawl in my crib and want to sit on me. That is if she wasn't hissing and growling. Again, they asked, "Is Jimmy here?" And the response when my cat was hissing was always yes. One time my mom was in the bathroom getting ready and she could hear me calling her, "Mommy, Mommy, they're tying me up, help, help me, Mommy." She could hear the sounds of kids laughing. That wasn't me, and assumed I had the TV on loud and was just playing along. After a while of me begging her to come untie me, she decided to give in and see what I was up to. To her surprise, mine and my sister's jump ropes were all tied and knotted together. And there I was, sitting on the floor with my arm bound to my side, completely tied up from my shoulders down to my lower torso. She always tells me that she knows for a fact that there was no way I could have tied myself because not only was there no way for me to be able to do that without help because of the way I was tied, but that the knots that were tied to me there were not something a child could do. Not only that, but the TV was not on, nor had it ever been on. The laughter she heard didn't come from me or the TV, and we were the only two home at the time. I don't know if it was Jimmy that tied me up, but it was while he was hanging around, so she always figured it was him. One night I was over at my grandma's house for a sleepover, and she was watching some Saturday night special about aliens and alien abductions. They were interviewing people that claimed to have been abducted at one point in their life. My grandma was in the kitchen when I called out to her to come here. Jimmy is on the TV. Curious, she came around to the corner and saw a picture of a police sketch artist had drawn up of one of the aliens as described by a recent abductee. One of the women on the special mentioned the pain in her belly button. That was it. That was all my grandma needed to hear to officially freak the fuck out. She called my aunt in panic because she thought the government was going to bum rush her door any moment and take me away for kicking and screaming. My family isn't super religious, but my grandma went and got a picture of Jesus and hung it in my room. They also moved my older sister in my room with me. They got us new bunk beds, where I ding the bell and put them in the corner. I always saw Jimmy in. They said that is when it all stopped, and when they asked me if he was there, my response was no, he went away. I have no memory of this, but I do remember always being afraid in the house all this happened in. My cousins have had kids, and when one mentioned her friend Jimmy, everyone practically crapped their pants, but I think it's safe to say it was a false alarm. I am always half-heartedly joking that if I ever go missing, it means Jimmy came and took me away because I would at least have a note if I decided to split. My mom doesn't care much for that joke. Hope to hear this on the show. If not, I understand. I have more stories, not as long as this, and a little more on topic. Thanks for taking the time to read this, Felicia. Well, there you go, a bunk bed story where the bunk bed actually saved the day. Or did the act of putting something in that spot, in fact, save the day? Very interesting story. The things that we experience as children and then we don't remember anymore or block out. I wonder how many of us, when we have experiences that we try and tell our parents about as children because we believe they're happening and are simply dismissed, are never again revisited because the parents never experienced them much either and just dismissed them and slowly forgot them. As did we. Thanks for sharing that. Number 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, this is Jake, and this is when I lived up in Spokane, Washington area. I got a job at a hotel, and I thought it was pretty new, so I was really worried about any stuff happening. But after I started working there, a few people would tell me, you know, there's a spirit here, and I'd kind of brush it off. You know, kind of like, well, whatever. And so then I just go on. But at the time, I was really religious, so I thought all spirits, yeah, that's demonic. So I got freaked out real easy and didn't quite understand that, you know, there's more than just one. But anyway, so I got a job at the hotel, and they said that there's a little boy drowned in the hot tub there. And I thought, yeah, whatever, you know, brushed it off. Well, I went home and I asked my grandmother, and she says, oh yeah, I remember that. And then it was like 10, 12 years ago, before this time that I worked there. And one of her older ladies says, oh yeah, I remember that too. And so the legend goes is that anytime somebody's in the hot tub and it doesn't shut off, excuse me, and it stays on number 6, that the little boy's in the hot tub. And that you know he's in there because the timer is always stuck on 6 because he was 6 years old when he died. And so, lo and behold, one night, the night auditor didn't show up, and so I had to cover her shift. So I was there in this hotel all by myself, and it was completely quiet. And so they had a 24-hour pool that was right next to the office, and here came down a guy. He's about 11 o'clock. He comes down there and goes in the hot tub, and he stayed in there till about 12:30. And he came out just like, "I love your hotel. You know, how's the hot tub? It doesn't ever shut off." He goes, "I love that." And I just kind of was like, "Huh, that's interesting." And so he left about 12:30, and so I stayed there. At a little after 3 in the morning, I peek over in there, and the hot tub's still going. It had been going for well over 3 hours plus. And so I decided to walk in there. And as soon as I walked in there, I could feel this just like heavy presence around me. And I went over there, and sure enough, it was on 6, and I turned it off, but it took a little effort to twist it off there, off of 6, to get it to turn off. So finally shut off, but then the creepiest part with me is I kept seeing little things from the side of my face. I thought I saw people coming, going, and you know, just the phone rang a couple times, nobody was there. I was actually crouched down in the back in the laundry room by myself, huddled down because I was so scared at one point. But that was my experience with firsthand there at that hotel, and I wasn't the only one to see the spirit, because one of the other night auditors said she gets visits, and she said she spoke to him a couple times, but that's what she said. I have nothing to confirm that, but that's my story, and enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us. Fully believe you probably have seen things out of the corner of your eye. Probably something odd going on at the hotel, but keep in mind, it could just be a shitty hot tub. The other stuff, sure. But it could just be a shitty hot tub. You never know. I've been at plenty of hotels, too, where just things do not function correctly. And it really has nothing to do with the paranormal. But the fact that you have all these other things surrounding it, you know, certainly does lead to the area where it could be paranormal. Is there something paranormal likely going on there? Sure. Does it necessarily for sure involve the hot tub? I think that's a little bit up in the air. There might be more to it than just mechanics not functioning correctly. I'd have to ask, you know, do they ever try and get it fixed? Do they have it repaired? Is it one of those where we just got it repaired and the repairman said it'd be fine? It happens all the time. What's the status on that? I'd be interested to hear that part of it. Thank you for sharing that that story with us and experience. We greatly appreciate you calling in. Number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP and help keep us on the air. You got all those bonus episodes to binge away on. Some of the best episodes we've ever done are those EPP episodes. Really, really worth checking those out. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, who is sick today, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.